This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So, my name is Armando Castillo, and I am interviewing Nicole Trinidad over the phone. I'm in my house, she's in her house, and today is March 22nd, 2020. Do you give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to start off with some lighthearted questions that aren't too difficult and aren't too deep. So the first one being, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rio Piedras, Puerto Rico, until I was 6 years old.
Okay, and why did you leave your country of origin? So why did you leave Puerto Rico?
My mom decided that living in Puerto Rico wouldn't provide me with the same opportunities and education that I would have if I would live in the United States. So we moved here.
Mm-hmm. So it was like the American dream. What do you miss most about your country of origin?
I miss most that Puerto Rico has very friendly people and it feels like a loving community.
Are there any stories that could back up that claim? That you could think
of? Sort of like when my dad would walk me in the park and we would walk around, people just say hi to each other and, like, check on each other to make sure if they're okay. Like, when I went for vacation in December, we almost got into a car crash because there was a car that kind of like broke its tire on the highway, and my dad stopped the car and got out, mm-hmm. even though we didn't even get hit, to check on the other people and they were fine. But that's just something that people in Puerto Rico would do that people here wouldn't do.
Yeah. And are there anything you don't miss about Puerto Rico?
I don't miss that Puerto Rico is kind of stagnant when people feel like they've reached a point where they can make ends meet. They don't push themselves a lot to, like, continue doing that.
Are there any reasons why you don't like that?
I don't like that because I feel like if you can make ends meet, you can fight to have more than you already have. You can push yourself to have a surplus of the things that you need.
Mm-hmm. When you first came to America, what were some of your expectations?
I expected the typical American dream that every little child is told when they're moving to America. I expected to be embraced and for everyone to be different, but still accepted.
Mm-hmm. And what was maybe your perspective of America before you came over here?
I thought that it was like something so amazing where people of all different cultures all came together and all accepted each other.
And did America end up living up to those expectations or falling short?
It fell short just because everything is so black and white mostly when it comes to politics and different things and everybody's community. I don't think everybody really blends together like I thought they did.
Mm-hmm. So when you actually did end up coming to New York, when did you come and who did you come with?
I came when I was 6 years old. I came with my mother and my sister.
Mm-hmm. And around what time was this, like what year?
I was born 2001, so 2007.
Okay. And when you did end up coming, how do you think you were received in your neighborhood specifically? So maybe, you know, at school or at the playground, stuff like that, being that you was a kid.
Well, when I got here, I was moving around a lot because we couldn't really find our footing here. Like, it took a couple of times moving for us to finally find our apartment that we lived at. But the first couple schools that I went to, I felt so uncomfortable because I did not know a lot of English. I knew how to say hi, and I need help because my mom taught me that. She knew a little bit of English, but I did not know how to speak English fluently, which made it really hard because I just didn't know who to talk to, and it made it really uncomfortable for me.
And in general, in the United States, how do you think you were like received, maybe to the general eye?
I think I was seen as a little Spanish girl who didn't know what she was doing, because that's literally what I was.
Okay. And so you spoke about how in Puerto Rico, everybody is so nice and, you know, caring towards each other. And America, it's a lot different. How were you able to adjust to the culture in New York City?
I think it took finding one friend. Like, I found one other girl who was Spanish and knew English and knew Spanish. So she helped me feel more comfortable. And after I realized that there were a couple other people like me, I felt more comfortable, like, getting used to the environment, getting used to not everybody around me spoke Spanish and understood me and knew who I was.
Mm-hmm. And so upon coming to New York City, what opportunities do you think were available to you, if there were any at all?
Well, what opportunities were given to me?
Well, what they were available. So not given, but just able for you to have as an immigrant.
Well, at first, when I was little, I didn't really, like, know that there were opportunities for me available.
Oh, yeah.
But now that I'm in college, there's a lot of scholarships available for Hispanic people. There's a lot of programs that help Hispanic people find internships because they're in college, and other people know how difficult it is for minorities specifically to find their footing.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're older now, looking back, you know, are there any opportunities you see that you got as a kid that maybe you didn't realize in the moment?
I don't think so. I think as a kid it was harder for me. I think because I was so little and because I didn't know the language and I felt uncomfortable at the very beginning, I don't think there were opportunities provided for me. I think it was harder. But now that I'm older, it's a lot easier for me to find things that are available for me.
So then when you were younger, do you believe there were opportunities that were denied that maybe other kids got due to the language barrier?
Definitely. When I was younger, kids who knew English, they were involved in activities that I was just denied from because I didn't know how to communicate. Like, there would be field trips to the science museum that I couldn't go on because I didn't know that I had to give permission to it because I didn't speak English and I didn't feel comfortable asking other people what was required. Like, it was just things that I couldn't really grasp because I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And because the teachers didn't really want to, you know, take that
respect. Yeah, it was until I was in, like, third grade that I had a Spanish teacher. She was the first one that really helped me a lot in knowing what was needed from me, because I saw what was needed from other children, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what was needed specifically from me because no teacher was communicating that to me directly.
Mhm. And how does that make you feel, you know, having to wait 3 or 4 years into your elementary school, you know, career that you were denied all these opportunities?
I felt very, like, secluded. I felt like nobody was really noticing me because every other kid that knew English was very involved, and I felt very, like, alone. And I still had that one friend, but that one friend had her own, like, environment already. She was, like, she found her step already. I still didn't. And I felt really, like, abandoned for it, but once I did meet my teacher, she really helped me a lot with my English. Ms. Vargas really, like, was the one that helped me with my English, and I was able to really understand how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of moving, you know, when you came to New York, what are some of the things that you kind of did at school to fit in with the rest of the kids, even though there was that language barrier, which played a major role?
I think I dressed like them. In Puerto Rico, a lot of people, like, it's hot all year round. So when I started school, I didn't know that when it got chilly, I needed a jacket. Like, my mom knew, so she would give it to me. But as soon as I got to school, I had to take it off. So when I noticed that everybody around me was dressing in, like, little jeans and cute shoes with bedazzled all over them, because that's what little girls do in school, that's what I did. And it kind of helped me not fit in, but it helped me look like everyone else. And that made me a little more comfortable that I wasn't sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, it made you feel more of a part of the little community.
The community,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where have you lived in New York City, whether that be, you know, different boroughs or maybe within just one borough and different areas within it?
Okay, so when I first got here, my mom took us to my aunt's apartment in Brooklyn, Bushwick, Brooklyn, but she still lives there.
Mm-hmm.
She took us to live there because we were going to live there until we found our own apartment. So that was for, like, I think it was for a couple of weeks, not long, because my mom isn't a person who likes to stay in other people's area. So then we moved to a neighborhood in the Bronx. I don't remember because we stayed there for literally 2 weeks. And then we finally found our apartment that we stayed at for like 7 years in Prospect in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
We lived there for really long, and then the rent got way too high, and it just wasn't something that we were able to stick with anymore. We needed to leave.
It wasn't feasible.
It wasn't available for us anymore. It was too much rent, and we didn't have the money for it. So we moved to Eden Mall in the Bronx, the projects. It was cheaper, obviously, and we needed somewhere to live.
Mm-hmm. And when you first had to move to New York City and then having to move here, which is a whole different country, than having to move around within the boroughs, what was the hardest part about moving around?
The hardest part was definitely switching schools constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when I was in Brooklyn for a couple of weeks, my mom obviously put me in, like, a, not a daycare, but kind of like pre-K thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was uncomfortable. But then I got used to it because it was a couple of weeks. And then I had to move again. And then we got to Prospect, and I was in a school for literally, I think it was like 3 weeks. And I had to move again. And then when I finally got to Prospect, I was also at a new school, so I had to find a new group again. So it was just, that was the hardest part. Keep continuously changing schools, being a little girl, and having to find my footing every couple months until we finally stayed at the apartment in Prospect.
If you were to have stayed in Brooklyn or the first neighborhood in the Bronx, do you think it would have made school easier?
I do, because my aunt knew a lot of other women in her neighborhood because she had been there for, I think it was 5 years already, and she had known other women who had kids who went to the program that I was in. So it was a little easier, but I do like that I moved around because it gave me a sense of independence. It gave me a sense of understanding that when some things are thrown at me, I have to make my best out of it and keep finding myself again.
Mm-hmm. And in living in New York, what's been your favorite part compared to Puerto Rico?
Oh, definitely the freedom. Like, here in Puerto Rico, everything is very far. You need a car for everything, and you need a car. Literally, you need a car to go to the store, to the supermarket. Like, you need that kind of transportation. But here, everything is available to you. You have the subway. You have the Metro North. Everything is available for you to choose to go to where you want to be. And that's really cool.
And bouncing off of that, what's your least favorite part about living in New York compared to Puerto Rico?
I don't think I have one. I love being here. It's different. It's completely different. But I love being here. When I go on vacation in Puerto Rico, I want to come back. Like, I don't want to stay there longer. I want to come back to my home.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't, sorry. So since Bushwick was the first neighborhood that, you know, you lived in, even though it wasn't too long, since then, how has that area changed?
completely different. I went back recently, and everything is different. They've identified so much. Things have changed. There's a lot of, like, white-owned restaurants, and when I was growing up there, it was mostly Hispanic-owned and Jewish-owned restaurants and establishments, and now it's completely different. Now it's a lot of white-owned things, and it made me a little concerned, because if that keeps happening everywhere where minorities are, there's not going to be a place for us to go anymore.
So in coming to America, how has your reception in your neighborhoods changed over time?
How I'm perceived in my neighborhood?
How you're perceived by your family or your culture?
I think, obviously, when people look at me, I look Spanish. But now I don't think it's like, oh, my God, look at the Spanish girl. I think it's like, oh, there's a Spanish girl there. Because I don't stick out anymore. I speak English fluently. I still speak Spanish fluently. But I fit in. I dress like everyone just because I got used to it and I like it now. And I wear my hair like everyone. I just look like most people, except I'm still Spanish.
So do you think maybe when you were younger, you felt like you stuck out like a sore thumb because you didn't know much? And
yeah,
now that you're older, you've been able to adapt?
Yeah, I think the more time I spend here, the more I, what's the word? I become like everyone, kind of. Like, I'm still my own person. I still come from Puerto Rico. I'm still very Hispanic. But I'm more like Hispanic American because I live here and this is my community. It's what I call home.
So being that you're an immigrant, even though, you know, America is technically a part, or sorry, even though Puerto Rico is somewhat of a part of America, what is one thing you would change about the United States immigration system?
I would definitely change how immigrants are treated by the government.
In what ways?
In the way that, like, DACA was something that was established and legal, and now it's becoming harder for DACA Americans to continue to be in America safely. They're being persecuted and laws are being changed. And it's sad to see because those people came here. I know of many people who came through DACA as kids and now they're teen adults, young adults, and now their, like, citizenship is in jeopardy. And that's not fair because it's their home. It became where they grew up. They don't even know about where they originally came from anymore.
And are there any candidates that adhere to this that maybe you're keeping up with for the presidency? Are there any presidential candidates that adhere to what you think should be changed in our immigration system?
I have to say, I'm one of the Gen Z people who don't really keep up with politics. I don't really care. Like, I know I should care because I'm Hispanic and I could have been an immigrant if Puerto Rico wasn't a commonwealth of the United States, but I don't really care because sometimes I truly feel like my vote doesn't count. I still vote because I get a little educated before I go to vote, but I don't really care. I think Bernie Sanders is saying good things, but what he says will take time to come true, which I don't know if he has that kind of time. But I don't know. I don't really have a particular candidate that is like, ooh, I'm going to vote for him.
Okay. And how has the politics of the last decade impacted your experience as an immigrant? So has maybe some changes, you know, made your life more difficult or easier, or just not much has happened?
I don't think politics really affects my life. For the simple fact that Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the United States, meaning I was born a citizen, which I consider myself lucky for, because if I came from DR like my mom did, she went through hell to get her citizenship when she was young, and she had to go through the alien card thing and then had to get her citizenship test. So I consider myself lucky that Puerto Rico is a commonwealth and whoever is born in Puerto Rico is immediately a citizen.
Well, That covers all of the questions that I wanted to ask. Thank you for taking part in this interview.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.